After school, I make my way to the district where Shigetsugu lives. I know the way by heart at this point. I've gotten somewhat familiar with the area after all. I should be able to escape into a busier area if I somehow bump into that duo. Okay, let's do this. Ugh. That sounded like shit. Okay, let's do this. I give myself a little pep talk out loud. Today's main goal is to ask around and find out anything I can about the relationship between Shigetsugu and that girl. Things go south almost immediately, though. You wouldn't happen to be a participant, would you? He's a tall old man, isn't he? Someone approaches me from behind. Huh? The very person I was about to gather info on meets my gaze when I spin around. He may be short, but he looks as tenacious up close as he did from afar in the dream world. Short my ass, he's pretty fucking tall for an old man. He stares at me with a stone-cold poker face, a plastic bag in hand. I freeze the moment our eyes meet. I recognize that face. Not many high schoolers look as threatening as you do. You're. Now, allow me to hazard a guess. You've come here in search of information pertaining to me, yes? His posture makes him look exhausted. He's completely unfazed despite having run into another participant. Now that I think about it, he didn't react in the slightest when numeral 11 got her hands on his name card. He may sound somewhat surprised, but at the same time, he seems a bit apathetic. Please, there's no need to be so tense. I have no intention to oppose any of you. My battlefield lays elsewhere, and today I make my return after a great triumph. Your battlefield? And indeed, I have my own battle to fight. With another participant? Heavens no, I have my battles by the station. I'm completely baffled by his statement. I guess it means he successfully reeled me in though. I start to panic with that thought in mind. The battle begins by lining up early in the morning to secure a good spot, but the true war begins after that. Few things are exciting as the fanfare you receive when hitting the jackpot. Jackpot, fanfare, and a good spot. Not to mention this all takes place by the station. The station isn't huge, but it has all your typical storefronts around it. Coffee shops, diners, the shopping district, and...
Pachinko... desu ka?
Are you... talking about pachinko?
Seikai
ja. Ha ha ha, that is correct. I've heard that pachinko parlors, people that have been in, they said they smell like feet. They just are terrible. I guess the people that are so addicted to them, they do nothing but drink alcohol and don't bathe regularly, so they stink pretty bad. And I guess the pachinko parlors stink along with them. His laugh is hearty and sincere. The scowl on his face remains, though. It leads me to believe that he's the kind of person whose facial expressions don't quite match up with how they actually feel. Here, for your correct guess, you win this chocolate. He produces a bar of chocolate from his bag and hands it to me. I stare at it for a few seconds before turning him down. Is this your way of making me lower my guard? Children these days aren't quite satisfied with chocolate, I see. A shame. Especially when I know one whose eyes light up whenever I give them some. You must be talking about the girl staying with you. I don't recall any girls staying with me. Drop the act already. I try to sound as threatening as I can muster. Letting him lead the conversation any longer is too risky, especially when I can't gauge his intentions. My, my, aren't you a scary one? I stare him down as he tries to tease me. It's possible that he's trying to rope me in and extract useful information out of me, so I try to say I try my best to say as little as possible. As I said before, I have zero intention of taking part in all of this. I'm happy enough as it is to have been granted some extra time before passing away. I've even been able to return to the pachinko parlor thanks to it. You'll never believe how much my income has increased ever since Divine Selection began. I refuse to say anything in response to his random conversation. That being said, could I ask you to leave? He finally confronts me, possibly after realizing that I would stay quiet if he doesn't. I'm fine with whatever fate befalls me, but there's a certain someone whose survival I want to ensure. It has to be the girl. I already know for sure that they're living together, which means he's feigning ignorance. I want us to lead a normal life until that someone finds the will to fight for their own sake. Would it be too much to ask that you hear out what this old retired man has to say? You want this person to win, don't you? If so, then yes, it would be too much. Well, that's hardly surprising. How does this sound then? His tone becomes grave and his expression somehow gets even more tenacious as he speaks. If you agree to leave now, I won't make any mention of having met you. That means they won't target you. I get that you're older than me, but you may want to appreciate the fact that you're in no position to look down on me, Ushizuka Shigetsugu. Getting haughty just because you know my name, are you? He doesn't falter when confronted with my threat. He opts to provoke me instead. Ha ha ha, I'm kidding. As I said twice now, I have no intention to oppose any of you. His tone returns to normal, although his expression remains unchanged. We've made absolutely no progress. I guess his age and experience means it won't be easy to reel him in. From what I can gather, you aren't quite like the other participants. You're nothing more than a young girl. It pains me to know that you died so young, but your best bet is to avoid the other participants if you want to make the most of what little time you've been granted. The hell up! Beg your pardon? I'm not sure how, but I managed to stop myself from screaming in his face. I've just about had it with him talking to me like I'm some dumb kid. I'm not doing this for my survival. I'm here for answers. I can't afford to just sit idly by and let all this pass. Is my life worth casting aside the lives of others for? What is my regret? What awaits myself in Maharu when all is said and done? Is fate really something we can't hope to go against? I can't let myself die until I find the answers to all these questions. I have no intention of living a quiet life if I'm unable to do so. Answers, hmm? I'm not quite sure what questions you have, but finding your answers won't be a simple task. And? Don't act like you know me. Ha ha ha, quite the nostalgic statement there. I used to hear it from my family quite often before they all left me. That lady from the other day mentioned that he's been living alone ever since his family abandoned him. Based on his attitude, I'm hardly surprised someone said that to him before. He's one of those condescending types who likes to act as though they know every little thing about you. I'll leave for today, but it doesn't mean I'll stop looking into you. Don't think I'm the only one doing this either. Everyone's far more desperate to cling to life than you seem to think. That tenacity of yours is quite admirable. Certainly not what I'd expect from a child, haha. That attitude is what's pissing me off? Just as I'm about to leave, I hear a set of footsteps stop in front of me. I turn my eyes towards the person to whom they belong. Who is this? Don't tell me it's another participant. No, of course it is. What is it about today? The voice belongs to the girl I tailed back to Shigetsugu's house the other day. She's probably returning from a shopping trip based on the plastic bag she's holding in one hand. Her eyes are big and round, and her silver hair is somewhat disheveled. She seems like your average innocent kid. Not an instant after I think that, she gives me an icy cold stare. Is she targeting you as well? Right then, I feel like something sharp stabs into my brain. The sudden pain is so bad that my hands clasp onto my head in instinct. I've never experienced a headache this painful before. This isn't good. I'm not sure about the cause, but the last thing I need in this situation is to leave myself vulnerable. Just as I think that... My head! What's going on? I'm not the only one experiencing this pain, it seems. I just sigh as I take in the unfamiliar room, mainly because I know the situation I'm in all too well. Rest assured, I've put nothing dubious in your tea. Thanks, but no thanks. Trust me, had I wanted to examine your ID and such, I would have done so already. This is my attempt at being hospitable. While taken aback, I accept the cup and have a sip. There's not much taste to it. Well, it's to be expected when the drink is more yellow than green. As for why I'm in Shigetsugu's house, he brought me inside after that headache knocked me for a loop. Both myself and the girl were told to rest until the pain subsided, but she hasn't woken up yet. I notice her fidgeting in her sleep, which leads to my involuntarily gulping down the tea. Oh ho! Rather impressive. Thank you for helping me, but I stayed long enough already. Sure. Just remember that my stance on the matter won't change. Yeah, I won't. He may not see me as his enemy, but there's no denying that we will ultimately have to compete with one another. Not to mention that the girl made no effort to hide her hostility towards me. Sure, I'm curious about the sudden headache that hit us when we met, but it's too dangerous to stay here. I want to be gone before she wakes up. These walls are thin enough that people outside would hear me if I scream, but there's no guarantee they'd actually try to help. Shigetsugu. Are you feeling better? Yeah, sorry for making you worry. There's no reason to apologize. Have some tea. Hehe, thanks. I hadn't intended on staring, but I couldn't take my eyes off of them. It's a quick exchange, but the two of them really seem like an average grandfather and granddaughter. The warmth in his expression reminds me of how my own grandmother looks at me. I plan to leave as quick as possible, but after witnessing that scene, my feet feel stuck to the floor, which gives the girl an opportunity to turn her attention towards me. You. I keep my mouth shut. There's no reason to respond. I'm better off going straight home. Oh, you're still here? This girl may be a participant, but there's no excuse. Excuse me, that's no excuse to glare at her the way you did. She isn't our enemy after all. Make sure to apologize for your behavior before she leaves. Right, I was on edge because two others came here this afternoon to scrounge up information on you, Shigetsugu. When I saw you two talking, I thought she might be in cahoots with them. In any case, I do apologize. This isn't half-hearted. She's even bowing her head. Okay, that's not supposed to happen. Oh, it didn't. I don't know what that was. I guess I heard something. Whatever. You see scenarios like this often. The granddaughter does something and then apologizes when her grandfather tells her to. I would honestly believe that these two are family had I not known their participants, even though they look so different. They're not just playing the parts. Everything about their interaction feels authentic. That just makes things harder for me. Oh, I'm not particularly upset about it. Don't worry. I can't blame her, though, considering my attitude towards him. Of course, it's not like I've decided to let my guard down around them now. My standing by the front door to ensure my escape route serves as proof. However, something she said piqued my interest. I have to confirm with her before leaving. Two others came here earlier, you said. They wouldn't happen to have been a tall man and a woman, would they? How did you know? I've been keeping an eye out for them as well. Her eyes widened. Shigetsugu, on the other hand, listens without reacting. Okay. I don't know what that is. Yeah, I have my phone volume all the way down, right? Yeah. Huh. I don't know what I'm hearing. Dinging in my head, I guess. I don't know. Shigetsugu, on the other hand, listens without reacting. I take it you know who I'm referring to. They came by earlier, so yes. Beg your pardon. Oh. I haven't gotten to tell you yet. They're the reason why the house is a mess. I did notice some disorganization, but I assume that's how they lived. I don't mean there's trash lying around, but there are a number of newspapers, magazines, and articles of clothing dotting the floor. You know numerals 3 and 11, don't you? I remember what they look like, sure. Mind explaining what happened? I've completely lost my chance to leave now. You should listen to this as well, but in return we would like some information. He motions for me to sit closer, probably because he knows I've lost my chance to go too. Those two made their way into the house looking for you. It wasn't long after you'd left, actually. I was aware that they'd been scouting out the house from when I last came here. They'd probably have been for several days. Knowing Shigetsugu leaves in the morning, they'd figured he'd stick to the routine today as well. I made sure to chase them off, though. The woman was tough, but the man was no threat. What, you chased those two off? She's about my height, but she's definitely way younger and extremely slender. Judging from how she said numeral 11 was tough, I doubt she gave them a simple verbal threat. These are the same two who took Sonya's parents hostage, as if they'd listened to a kid's threat. They got away, but I did manage to severely wound numeral 3. We should be safe for a few days thanks to that. So you resorted to violence again? Okay, what I'm hearing is from the music here. That's what it is. I had no choice. It was the only way to keep them out. Besides, they attacked first. Wait a minute. You fought them? Like, how? I'm not sure. I just know how to fight for some reason. Is that even possible? And now I'm suspicious of them again. It's not impossible for her to make up this... Excuse me, to make this up in an attempt to reel information out of me. This one suffers from amnesia, you see. Should you be telling her that? It's hardly an issue. There's little for you to lose by telling her. I'm fine with it, but whatever. It should be okay. This child had nowhere to go when divine selection began. We started living together not so long after our first encounter. I don't remember a single thing about what happened before divine selection, my name, my destination, or even why I became a participant. I don't even know the contents of my own personal card, so there's no point in trying to uncover my cause of death and regret. Not only did I forget why I'm in Japan, but I didn't even know that I wasn't born here until I met Shigetsugu. Amnesia, something we have in common. The only difference is that she's lost all of her memories. I've forgotten bits and pieces prior to and after divine selection began, but not enough to affect my life. She, meanwhile, doesn't even know where she is. I can't even begin to imagine. I met Shigetsugu pretty quick, though, so it's not as bad as you may think. She follows up with a pleasant smile. I find it hard to believe that someone with a smile like this could fend those two off. I've heard about how one retains their personal habits and skills when suffering from amnesia. The loss of personal memory doesn't influence muscle memory or something. But that means she had the ability to go toe-to-toe with those two even before the amnesia. Right. I'm sure there's more you want to hear, but I do believe it's your turn now. He turns his attention to me after cutting the conversation short. I guess he did mention some sort of reciprocity. There we are. Reciprocity. That's a good word. I guess he did mention some sort of reciprocity of information before. I decided to tell them what I know about those two. I fully expected participants to resort to extreme measures, but those two truly raised the bar. I tell them about what they did to Sonya and her parents, holding a child's parents hostage in order to make them reveal their information. Sheer brute force. However, I make sure not to mention that I have Frederico's name card. They never mention what the card, what cards they have, so fair is fair. I guess you had little choice but to retaliate then. See? I knew what I was doing. Yes, yes. Here, I'll pat your head as a reward. Do keep in mind that you're putting yourself at risk, though. Be more careful next time. Okay, you don't need to worry, though. I won't lose to anyone. Her attitude turns out to be far more childlike than her appearance. From my perspective, she's like a kid who gets carried away after being given a little praise. Still, what she said holds weight if she really was able to fight those two off. Her unpredictability is definitely a concern. Sonya, at least, accepted the fact that she was a participant. These two, on the other hand, care only about living out their lives like normal people. You should understand by now that we truly have no intention of taking part in all this. Please don't get involved with us anymore. His choice of words makes me think he's somehow read my mind. I'm not sure if that's intentional, but I'm stunned either way. Then I realize it. They're not normal at all. Even real families would struggle to act as legit as these two do. Plus, they're both participants. This is insane. Those two won't give up, though. They'll be back as soon as Normal 3 is recovered, or maybe even earlier. Eliminating us is the only way they can survive, so they have to return. Are you perhaps worried about us? You came here for our information, correct? Why would you bother to worry about us? I don't know. I just do, I guess. That's right. I'm far from normal myself. It's not quite the reason I expected after all your talk about finding answers. You really are annoying, aren't you? Not that he's wrong. That's why he's been so calm this entire time. He's never seen me as a threat. Are you making fun of him? No, not quite. Ho, no need to worry about that. I see you went shopping earlier. What did you buy? Oh, that washer thing got broken thanks to those two, so I went out to get something for it. I'm not really sure what it is. The clerk recommended it. I'll assume you mean the washing machine. What's with the hose? They said you know what to do with it. Next to her is a washing machine hose. I recognize the logo on the bag. She must have bought it at one of the nearby supermarkets. I'm not one to fidget with machines, unfortunately. What were you gonna do if the washer broke then? Fortunately, there's a coin-op laundry close by. Coin-op laundry? You go there and pay to use their laundry machines. You said you cut down on other expenses for the sake of pachinko. We can't do that. I really want to say something, but I don't. She might actually believe what he says about being she might actually believe what he says about it being a battlefield. Shigetsugu, meanwhile, takes the hose before returning his gaze towards me. You know how to fix this, don't you? That figures. In the back of my mind, I knew I'd end up being asked based on their exchange. I'll replace the hose, but I'm going home after that. Thank you very much. Ugh, gross. How long has it been since this thing was cleaned? Someone get me a pair of plastic gloves. Man, so much for going straight home. Even their drain's a mess. Phew. Mind helping me rinse this? Oh, okay. No, not like that. Get the water from the bathroom. And thus I face my fate of getting a torrent of washing machine water to the face. Not only do I get drenched, but the water inside the machine is absolutely filthy. I wish I could exchange this memory for one that I'm missing. At least I changed it to my school jersey beforehand. A uniform is safe, but I can't say that's enough to make up for the experience. Honestly, this is probably the worst thing I've gone through since Divine Selection started. I've only got myself to blame, though. It never would have happened if I wasn't such a pushover. Naturally, I'm not too keen on using the bath at Shigetsugu's place, so I head to a nearby public bathhouse. Yay, this place is huge! I can't believe Naomi was right. Nothing. This whole time, she actually... Oh! This whole time, she was actually a he! I should have known based on his stride and his outfit, but his outward appearance really and truly made him look like a girl. I guess I've got Miharu to blame for warping my perspective. She carries herself more like a boy, so part of me sees it as normal despite understanding that she's a rare exception to the norm. I can only sigh at my own silliness. Youngsters like you shouldn't be sighing their lives away. You're to blame for it. Oh, how frightening. They both tagged along with me to the bathhouse. I guess I should be thankful that he's a boy. Now we won't end up alone in here. Making conversation with him would be a challenge by itself, but I can't hide my fear. Plus, something's odd about how we both suddenly got headaches when we came face to face. It has to be related to our memories, somehow. Come along. Okay. He scurries along behind Shigetsugu. Then I think about it, Shigetsugu hasn't referred to him by name. Maybe to ensure that I don't get my hands on his name card, but it's possible that he simply doesn't know it. I'm not quite sure how I reached that conclusion. But it might explain why I find their relationship so abnormal. Treating someone as family despite not even knowing their name. Eep, I'll get some weird looks if I mutter stuff like that to myself here. Less thinking, more